Session number 12661, Jim Ray, Reel 8.
Mr. Ray, Reel 8. Now, you were telling me how you didn't get an official lecture before you went, but you got one off your dad when you went home.
Yes.
And what sort of things did he tell you to do and not do?
Well, first of all, keep out of brothels. Because even at that time, when he was a young soldier, venereal disease was rampant then, as I suppose it is today. So I had to keep wide clear of that. Be careful of the drinking water. That was another thing. Take plenty of exercise when you could. Always keep your head covered during the day. And carry on like quite normally as a soldier should do. Keep out of harm. Don't go wandering about on your own, because we weren't friendly, James, when we were abroad, and I don't think you'll be friendly when you go abroad to another country. We are there because we are put there. Means that it was the Empire, you see, the British Empire. India was part of the British Empire, jewel in the English crown, I believe they call it, India.
So that's all good, what you might call standard advice from an old soldier.
Yes, and that was enough for me at that time.
You took it on board seriously then? You didn't think, oh, it's only...
Of course I did. My father never told me anything that was rubbish. It was always logical.
Did any other old soldiers tell you, you know, talk to you about India before you went?
Aye, there was some old soldier that had come back just for attached to us before they went into civil life, and they used to give us an idea what it was like.
And they'd say, did they say...
It's quite true.
They said the same sort of
same
stuff?
Same thing, yeah.
So, after you leave, what do you remember about the voyage out? Were you going out with a draft of other soldiers, or was it just you?
Yes, more soldiers went out.
To the second battalion,
yes.
How many?
Well, I couldn't tell you offhand, because you had to have the strength of battalions at home and away, you see. So we had a better influx in England than we had in India, because you used to allow for the trooping seasons. You could only come out in the trooping season and come home in the trooping season. So we had a lot of old soldiers.
Can you just explain what the trooping season was?
The trooping season was an exchange of old soldiers abroad and young soldiers going out and coming back.
That was only done at a certain time of year.
Yes, and we used to try, the troop ships used to try and get there just before the monsoons. No, that's it.
And which ship did you go on, do you remember?
Dorsetshire.
And what were conditions like aboard?
Crowded. Very crowded. We had one whole deck, you know, and...
What the DLI did, or the infantry did?
The infantry, yes.
There were other drafts from other regiments there then, were there?
Yes, there's quite a boatload when they went out. Didn't go out empty-handed, oh no. And we sailed from Southampton. That was about September time.
33.
And it was the first time I saw the Queen Mary.
The ship? And what was it like on your mess deck? Well, the deck. Well,
there was nearly the full length of the ship, and there's a gangway down along the centre of the mess deck and up the other end. Tables were fixed to the deck, long tables, the same sort of table we used to in the
were they in the gangway or
they were on the mess deck, and we slept on them in the mess deck, we ate in the mess deck.
Did you have bunks or were you in hammocks?
Hammocks.
How did you get on with them?
Oh, dear. Well, it's quite an acrobatic effort to get into the hammock if you'd never been in one before, because there's quite a number got into the hammock and it used to whip over, you know, and you used to go bang on the deck. You had to get used to that, getting into it properly and settling in, you know. And once you got in, you were all right, but you couldn't turn over like you could in bed, because all the hammock used to come up the side. And if you turned over quickly, that overbalanced, you see, and in your sleep, you woke up. Fortunately, I didn't fall out of my hammock at all, but I was lucky. But because there's a lot of bumps in the night, and a lot of shouting and swearing used to go on when the unfortunate chap turned over in his sleep, and wham, thump, and you had either fall on the table, or you fall on the edge of the table, or you hit the deck, or you hit the forms.
So the tables were underneath the hammocks.
Yes.
High up were you? How high up would you be then?
About 5 feet from the floor.
So you'd get a nasty crack.
Yeah. You had the height of the table, and then the height of the hammock when it was slung, and then above the hammock you had a big rack to put your equipment on, and whatever you come on board with was on the racks above that.
So did you, not being able to turn over, how did you find the hammock? Did you get used to it? Did you find it comfortable in the end?
Yes, I got used to it. At the time we were on the ship, you got used to it, all right.
Did you have to stow them away in the morning?
Yes. There was a time where we used to roll them up. All the blankets and all that were all affixed here, you know what I mean, inside by, tagged in by steel, brass rings, and the hammock could be folded a certain way. We showed how to fold a hammock, put the cords inside and roll them nice and neat in a bundle, and there's a big card on a number, and that was your hammock. You all had to form up to the hammock room, which is further down in the ship's hold, and put the hammocks in the proper correct order in these big air lockers. But there was no front on it, just an ordinary big square box-shaped contraption. You used to put them in easy. They used to all fall in line right from back to the front.
So, you get up in the morning and do that. Would you have to blow bugle calls still for Reveille?
No.
So how would you... Was there a set time for getting up, though?
Yes. Yes.
But it wasn't done by bugle?
No.
How was it done, then?
By there used to be an orderly sergeant. He was assigned for going round and making a nuisance of himself by tipping the hammocks over and things like that, you know. He knew when he was coming around. Come on, get out of that sidecar. You've been in there long enough. Come on, me heart, he's up. Come on, up. Come on in. Rise and shine. Come on. Out you get. Come on. Bump, thump, thump, thump.
So then you get up.
Lash up your hammocks and stow. Yeah.
And what would you do after you'd done your hammocks then?
Breakfast.
Before you, or would you wash first?
Oh yes, we used to go down into the washroom. There's plenty of water. But yeah, you used to get issued with salt water soap. Because the ordinary soap wouldn't make any lather at all. And it was all showers. No immaculate baths and things like that. It was like shower cubicles. You could turn the handles and it was pumped, you know, the hot water and the fresh water. But it was sea water heated. Sea water cold. Drinking water was drinking water. That was the ship carried itself.
So after you'd had a wash, it was breakfast, you said. How was that served? I mean, would it be served to you on your mess on your tables?
Yeah. Well, we had orderlies appointed. At the head of the table, they used to go to the galley, line up, and they used to bring the meals up from the galley up to the table, and then there was a plate rack, you know. There's a plate rack and a mug rack, and you used to put all those out ready in your mugs. Then you used to get your tea.
Would there be your plates and mugs or ships?
Ships. Oh yes. And
see, what? How did the food? I mean, you'd had good food at Fenham. I think the food at Catterick was all right, wasn't it? Yeah,
yes.
What about the food on the ship?
All right, it's good. Plenty of fresh meat and vegetables. Oh yes.
And the same sort of food as you got at home?
Yes, so practically the same food.
So we don't need to dwell on that too much. After dinner then, after breakfast, what would you do during the day and then during the afternoon on ship?
Well, we tried to do exercises when we could, before and after the deck, you know, and play bingo. That's about it.
So were you allowed out of your mess deck much, except for exercising? I keep calling it mess deck, the deck you were on.
Oh, yes, because you used to have the ships, second in command used to come round and used to inspect, pass an inspection. And we used to have a bugler, one every day. He used to go around with the number one. And then a ship's an army officer to inspect, and used to blow a single note as you went down, and it was a G. Da! And you used to go in front, and used to walk in front. They used to examine the underneath the tables and things, you know, look at the racks and see if everything was in order, and go up the other side, then down the other one, and underneath. Around. That was what they called the inspection. It didn't take long. You only had to blow a single G.
And was it a strict inspection on? I mean, did you have to lay your kit out?
No, you were only on for it. No, just a thing. You didn't lie any kit out at all.
Make sure everything was clean.
Yes. The only thing we had was our equipment. That was in the racks above us. As I said, all of the rest was in the hold. Kit bags with all our clothes. That's
so they were just inspecting. Really, the fixtures and fittings and the floor.
And cleanliness, yes.
Now, so you could, but could you go on deck when you liked?
Oh, yes.
So if you were sat down there at 10 o'clock in the morning, you could say, oh, I'll take a turn around the deck.
Yes, you could do. And we had a canteen on deck. You could get a cup of tea.
So you had freedom of movement around the ship?
Oh, yes. You could buy cigarettes.
Was the exercise, was it sort of, you know, they tried to... Was that taken by your NCOs? Or
yes.
Was that compulsory?
Not entirely, because sometimes the decks were occupied by the other personnel. You see, you had to take a turn.
And you mentioned bingo. Was there a lot of bingo playing going on?
Oh, every day.
How much money was it for? I mean, was it?
Well, it was only a penny card. Penny a card.
Who'd run it? Would it be an old soldier? Or
no, ship's padre.
So there's no question of anyone taken a lot of money out.
That's right. The ship's padre and some officer volunteer, two officers, you know, and perhaps a sergeant would go around selling the cards, you see. That's it.
What about the illegal games, Crown and Anchor, things like that? Were they going on, or would you not know?
Well, not at that time. I didn't see any. If there was anyone off, it would be very crafty.
What about deck games? Were there any of them?
There wasn't space.
Now, one thing that comes to mind is, you know, when you go to sea like that, was there a lot of trouble with seasickness at the start of the voyage?
Yes, there was. I was seasick. Oh, yes. 3 days. Nobody ate anything for 3 days. So I don't think there's anything cooked in the galley, because they realised that they would cook, you know, for their own sakes, but they realised that a lot of food went down the scuppers. The cook was waste, wasn't it? See?
How ill? I mean, where would you be sick? Would you go upstairs, or? Because some men can't control themselves.
Well, you couldn't. It just depends where the attack happened, you see. Sometimes you hadn't time to get upstairs, and sometimes you'd be going up the gangway and you'd be sick there. And we had to wear canvas shoes, you know. You weren't allowed to use boots. And it was slippy. Some used to come from top to bottom. And the most slither all in the mouth. It was used to be terrible.
How bad were you then?
Green. Sick. Green for 3 days.
Were there any cure? I mean, did the crew tell you to... I mean, there's usually someone to give you some idea what to do.
No, there's no cure for seasickness. No, you started, and within about 2.5 to 3 days, you were all right again.
And then, did you enjoy the voyage then?
Yes, it was lovely.
Was it too crowded, or was it all right?
Just all right. You could...
How did you get on with the other units on board ship?
All right.
Was there any rivalry?
No. No rivalry at all.
Did you mix with them?
Yes. Oh, mixed with them. There was one serious incident happened while we were going out there. This chappy, I forget what regiment he was in, and we were going through the Red Sea at the time, and he overbalanced and fell overboard. The ship, of course, everybody knew, because we all shouted, "Man overboard," and the ship shuddered, reversed engines, stop. And by the time the ship had stopped, and the Lascars, we used to have Indian Lascars, they were deck men, you know, did all the dirty work and scrubbed the decks down, one thing or another. By the time they lowered the boat and got ground, he disappeared. The sharks had got him. I think they called him Henty, Private Henty.
Was he one of yours?
No, another regiment. And we had a whip round for some money to send to his parents or whomever. Yeah, it was very sad, that.
Did you get ashore at all? Did it stop anywhere on the way? Went through the Med, I presume.
Yes. Went through the Mediterranean, Gibraltar. I'll tell you where, we were seasick mainly, Bay of Biscay. And we were tossed about like a cork there, you see. And then went through the Straits, Gibraltar. We pulled in at Alexandria, and we refueled. It was a coal-burning vessel. It wasn't a motor vessel. And we took on board several hundreds of tons of coal. And
did you have to help at all?
No.
The Lascars would do it, would they?
No. They had people, the Egyptians... They had proper stevedores in their fashion, you know what I mean? And it was like a conveyor system of humans. They came out one side with a big basket of coal on the heads. And they went up gangway into the ship, the bunker. They came out the other end, down the gangway, with the empty baskets, and the full baskets was coming up in a chain fashion.
Did anyone get ashore at all?
No one was allowed ashore. Yes. So after we took on board fresh water and coal, we set sail again, and we went through the Suez Canal. First time in my life. It's a wonderful sight. The first thing we saw on the entrance to the canal was de Lesseps' monument facing to the east. He was a French engineer, you know. And we left that behind. The ship travelling, the speed of the ship travelling through the Suez Canal would be about 5 knots an hour, no more. Simple reason, the canal was only about 100 yards wide, about 90 feet deep, and 100 miles long. That was according to the Maritime Almanac. And if you counted the Little Bitter Lakes, Little Bitter Lake, and the bigger lake, that would be about 108 miles long. Because the ships travel through those lakes. But there's maintenance being done on the canal all the time to keep it in condition. There were lay-bys on different sides so that ships could come up in continual flow.
Was it starting to get hot below decks?
Yes, it was. I was going to come to that. As soon as we hit the Red Sea, then we found out what heat was. It was boiling. And you can imagine what it was like going from entering the Indian Ocean to cross out to go to Bombay. It was like a furnace. There were quite a lot of chaps, as a matter of fact, they were silly, stupid. They went with the wrong deck and they were taking their shirts off, supposed getting suntanned. They were being warned about it. It was best to keep a vest on at least, and headgear. But they didn't take any notice, and there was a lot of blisters and a lot of people ill through the sunburn.
And you were in normal khaki, you weren't in your khaki drill, were you?
Well...
Because you said it hadn't been issued, or...?
No, we had our slacks, in, we had slacks, and...
But you didn't have tropical kit?
No.
Or tropical uniform?
Uniform.
And what was it like below decks?
Terrible, especially at night time. Even though the ventilators were going full blast, the air was warm going through. And some people that used to ring out, do a bit of dobing, you know, themselves, what they used to do. They used to hang the clothes over the ventilators to dry, which was stupid. And the smell down there, with sweat, particularly... sweaty feet
from socks.
Yes. And I tell you, they used to have what they call wind scoops. They used to shove the wind scoop, it was like a scuttle, a large one. It used to fit into the porthole. Can you remember when you were young, if you went into a grocer's shop and you used to get potatoes in a scuttle, large one, and you used to put the weight on the other end. There was something like that, but in a larger proportion. And there's a rack for the scuttle to go in, and the ship travelling forward used to put the scuttle in so it would scoop the air in the portholes as well. And that gave us quite a lot of ventilation. all the time those scuttles were in there while we were crossing the Indian Ocean.
But it did. But these people had sweaty socks, well, washed sweaty socks hanging up.
Well, the during the night, the ship's officer would come round at night time to see if there's no smoking. You're not allowed to smoke below deck, always on above deck. And he used to go and snatch the garments off the ventilators. And if you were half awake, you'd hear him using some bad language. And he used to go up and right round to see if everything was in order. Yeah.
So it was the heat rather than, and the smell rather than the stuffiness. There was plenty of air, but it was
hot. The air was warm. Everything was warm.
Did people start getting bad tempered or cramped up together down there?
We only had to suffer night time sleeping quarters. Yeah.
So at day, would you?
On deck.
As many as possible?
As many as possible. Everybody was on deck, to tell you the truth, all the time, except coming out from England when it was cold. Then they would go down, you know what I mean, when the warm weather was up.
Was there room for you all on deck?
Just about.
So, during the day, the mess deck, especially in the Indian Ocean, the mess deck, well, your deck would be pretty well empty.
Yeah, it was, yes.
And what about when you got to Bombay? What were your first impressions on arriving? Because you've never been abroad before.
No, marvellous. We went into the docks, and the first buildings I saw was the seafront. The brilliant white buildings, the Taj Mahal Hotel, and the gateway to India, and we sidepassed that to the docks to disembark. And the sun was blazing down, red hot. When we disembarked in parties, and the first thing we got after we disembarked in block, everybody got together, you know, because our bugle major looked after us.
So the DLI gathered together?
We got together, yes. By courtesy of the Indian government, we were given what they call a blue rug. It's about 6 feet long by 3 feet wide. A huge white bath towel with blue stripes down the sides. A block of Lux soap, I can remember that, Lux, and 20 packets of cigarette scissors, make cigarettes. The scissors, they're all Kinches, scissor cigarettes.
Now, you didn't smoke then, did you?
And a mosquito net. No, I didn't smoke.
Sorry, and a mosquito net.
Yeah.
And that was all given to you by the Indian government?
Yes.
But not the uniform at that time?
No,